the Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
We're ready to go. I've got the signal. I've got an early signal. Welcome to the Cat Attack Podcast, season 423, episode 3, 2026 style. On the eve of the Cats opening round sojourn to the Gold Coast, Kingy.
Our sojourn to the Gold Coast.
Yes, it could be. Would you be feeding any money into the meters, Kingy?
Is the captain going?
Well, I did. The coach didn't mention the captain being injured at all, and then he's got some sort of the old calf symptoms.
Well, he didn't do much last Wednesday night, and we just assumed it was just management, you know, what sort of, you know.
What are you hearing, Kingy?
Oh, I don't think he'll play, but I don't know. I suspect they'll put him on the plane and he'll try and do the captain's
run. Err on the side of caution would be, with anybody, because I don't think, you know, the club would never say this, but I'm not sure the Cats win tomorrow night. Make sure, let's not put all our eggs into trying to win tomorrow night if blokes are 50-50.
Give him another 8 days.
Make sure he's right for the Frio, is
and
it, round two?
And if he's not right for that, then you give him until after the bye.
Yeah, so you've got 2 weeks, you have technically 3 weeks. So I'd be erring on the side, Kingy, on the old side.
Of caution.
Yes. Do you know what, Kingy, if I'm not myself today, I had an experience today.
Are you all right?
Yeah, well, not sure.
Oh.
And it was with another man. Which is interesting, Kingy. So, do you know what else today is, Kingy? Today is the 10-year anniversary
of
the death of the 1989 Brownlow medalist.
Paul Couch.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know where I was when I heard that news?
No.
Sitting on a poker table in Las Vegas.
Right.
When I found out about Paul Couch and was actually in a hand and something came up, a text message came up on my phone because I had access to Wi-Fi.
Saying, stop punting.
No, it was just from, I think it was from a teammate of Couchy's. Couchy's died.
Yeah.
And I'm like, had to do it. Yeah. No, hard to believe.
What was the early 50s?
It was only in his 50s.
Yeah. It was.
I'm going to say 62. He's a similar age to Busey, I reckon.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. His older brother, Bill, would be older than that. Obviously, being the older brother, makes sense. Bill would be, I'm guessing, mid 60s.
Paul Couch would be 62.
Yeah.
Because I reckon he and Busey, their birthdays are very similar. So Paul Couch is July 19, and I reckon Busey's birthday is somewhere in July as well.
Kingy, that is extraordinary. I cannot remember my kids' birthdays.
Busey is also July 19.
Well, there you go. That is unbelievable scenes from you, but he was a star, Paul Couch, wasn't he?
So they must have been born on the same day. So 19th of July 1964 for Busey, 19th of July 1964 for Couchy.
Yeah.
There you go.
It was a big celebration that and Saturday night after the game with a double banger.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was a gun, wasn't he, Couchy?
His ability,
Gary goggles that he had.
I think of the bloke in number 5.
Oh, as soon as he got his eyes lit up.
Talking about passings, and a bloke who thoroughly enjoyed calling both the 5 and the 29 was...
Yeah, the big D.
Big Dennis.
Yeah, it was a sad day. Do we know what his illness was?
No idea. I didn't know. I wasn't aware that he was unwell.
No,
caught me by surprise.
That's what Spike Milligan said on his tombstone, didn't it?
Yes, he
told you I was sick.
But going back, I watched last night, somebody's cut up, been good enough to cut up Gary's...
Some of the Cats.
Gary's highlights from the 89 prelim.
Oh,
so
hey.
First half and second half. So the one where he makes Paul Hamilton look like the Statue of Liberty.
Yep.
The one-handed mark going backwards on Kevin Walsh. That was the old, that's a party trick, not a mark.
Yep. You'd be watching that with your pants off, wouldn't you?
It's legitimate football erotica.
You wouldn't need the chemical enhancements, would you? Are you on those yet, King? Are you all natural, are you? Do you just pole vault into the fart sack, do you, these days still? You wait till that stops. When your pole pole's not as rigid as it used to be and you can't get into your fart.
The polking horn.
Yes, if you haven't got the polking horn. But there are things that can help, Tom, now, that you can go down to your helpy pharmacist in the white coat and he can provide He can provide you with what you need, Tom.
Some assistance.
Yes, yeah. and it's lovely. So when you're ready for that, let me know. But you can get black market stuff too, King.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's good. Right. Anyway, There's other stuff you can have too, King. It'll really set the cat amongst the pigeons. Anyway, yeah, Kingy's going to try and edit some of this shit, I reckon, but he won't because nothing's happened there that was untoward. So, Kingy, I've done...
This whole podcast for 3455 has been untoward.
Well, what happened, Kingy? Just quickly, I had an experience today. Yeah. So if I'm not myself, please excuse me because something happened today that I haven't happened for 30 years.
Right.
Do you want me to tell you what... Do you want to timestamp this?
Yeah,
you ready?
No, I'm not. I'm not touching...
Are you ready?
I'm not touching this.
Yes, you are. He's always got the pen raised. I had a haircut.
Actually, even under your hat, I thought I was about to say, you had your ears lowered?
The only reason that is out of the ordinary for me is because I had my hair cut by the same girl for 30 years.
Right.
So I went to a barber 30 years ago. This girl's aware that she was putting herself through uni, so she wasn't planning on being a hairdresser for the rest of her life. Yeah. So when she finished up, I went in to get my hair cut, and she said, look, I'm finishing up next week, but if you want me to cut your hair, here's my phone number.
Yep.
Just ring me and I'll do it from home.
Yep.
So for 30 years...
You're right.
I have gone around. She's moved about 14 times. She had 17 kids, and I've followed her around. Now currently down in Torquay. Anyway, she hurt her back, so she can't cut my hair.
Yep.
And she said, I'll give you... She actually told me, saying, I'll give you permission to cheat on me.
Do you feel like having an affair?
So anyway, I went to this barbershop, Kingy, and I'm unfamiliar how this setup works, right? And the guy said to me, the guy looked pretty sullen face. He'd come in from, he'd been picked up in the draft. He wasn't from Geelong West. He wasn't from he was from parts unknown.
Yeah.
He said, how do you want? I said, and I started stupidly with a joke. I said, I'd like a perm. And anyway, I got absolutely nothing. Donuts. And then I said to him, he goes, so how short do you want it? And I said, I love a Brazilian.
Nothing.
So I shelved all gags, right? Yeah. I shelved all gags. I was sitting in this chair. He ended up being like Edward Scissorhands. There was scissors, there was clippers, there was hot towels, there was mist. It was extraordinary. I was sitting in this chair. I didn't know whether I was going to get shot to the moon or an arm was going to come out of the rest and provide me with sort of some sort of light entertainment to take my mind off it.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, he goes, that'll be $60. I said, $60? I said, what the hell? Anyway, I'm never going again. I am going
back to your usual.
I am going to be like Tommy Elvin for the rest of my life.
Very good.
Anyway, $60 later, I couldn't believe it. He didn't say one word to me after I said I love a Brazilian. He didn't have a sense of humour. And anyway, I don't know how people get their hair cut these days, Kingy. At those prices.
So obviously, for those who know, my... hair challenges. I have none, and I bought a pit bull. So I just
you bought a what? A dog?
A pit bull. It's a shaver. It's a skull shaver. So I just use that every couple of days.
Is that what it's called?
Yep.
God, they have freaky names for crap, don't they? A pit bull.
I
used to get out with a girl that had one of them.
Right. Anyway, how are you?
The lights used to go on and off.
Did you go and see any music in the last week? Were you going somewhere?
No.
Somebody's brought up the fact that you don't like Slipknot. On the KFCX.
Oh, I'm not a big... I've seen Slipknot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't go to see them. They happened to be there, big day out.
Right.
No, I didn't like Slipknot. But it was an experience, I'll say that much.
Right.
You wouldn't want to go every week, but... Yeah, because they do the chop at Slipknot. All the crowd do the chop.
The chop?
Yeah, so it's sort of choreographed. It's if you're not involved or you don't know what's going on, it can be quite
fun. The old Uncle Chop Chop, eh?
Yeah, so they were playing with Dallas Graham, big day. This is in the mid-90s.
Right.
So, anyway.
Can we talk footy?
Yeah. I've brought stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, stuff.
Right. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I did, just before I go, Kingy, I ran into two of our listeners on Sunday at kayak races, Rainsy and Bill.
Yep.
They love the Cat Attack podcast. They love their races and they love the cats. Mm. So they got the trifecta.
Everything
got every base covered. But they wanted me to provide them with the Bluetooth story.
No.
And they suggested to you that I told them the story and they thought there was a bit of merriment. They thought it was very, very amusing. And they suggested there was as long as they perhaps didn't give any names, they said there was nothing wrong with it. No. Nobody would be offended.
No.
Well, boys, I tried, but Kingy's poo-pooed it.
No. And I'll continue to poo-poo it.
I don't have to say any names.
No, I don't care.
It was just an
You're not telling...
It was just an unfortunate incident.
Not telling the Bluetooth story. Can I also just touch on something? Obviously, we touched on some sad news with Dennis Cometti, but let's touch on a young man you know very well, and you know his uncle very, very well, and you know his dad, making his AFL debut this week.
Yeah, Lockie Jakes is playing for the Bulldogs. Actually, Rainsy knows Mick Jakes, so who I ran into on Sunday. But, yeah, so it's fantastic. He's come from St Mary's through Falcons, played last year in the VFL, was emergency a few times, maybe once or twice, and, yeah, makes his debut. So it's absolutely fantastic. I know all the family are flying up, as you'd expect, and even his uncle Peter.
Yep.
And his dad, they played up at St. Joey's.
You referred to them as the reserves, they were like Cracker Brothers.
Well, one of them was, I'll never forget one day, I was leaving the, actually I was arriving at the ground. No, that was, I don't
were
know.
Playing,
I
might playing, have been playing
the
seniors.
And they were playing in the twos. One of them was wearing 46 and one of them was wearing 47. Yeah. And I remember yelling out, Pete was wearing 46. I said, hey, Pete, hey 46. Lose some weight, and 47 Mick is as skinny. So put on some weight, and they were. I'll never forget that. But yeah, look, they're over the moon. So good luck to Lockie Jakes, who is going to make his AFL debut.
Will the Cats have a debutante?
No, I said that last week. Do the Cats have a debutante? There's a misprint. Edwards and Polkinghorne, they're not ready.
No.
Absolutely not ready. I heard you ask the question in the press conference. I was going to talk about Chris Scott.
Yeah, I asked the question.
And he didn't give you much on
the debutante. No, but I had to just, that question had to be asked. The question I didn't get to ask was about Jed Buse. Unfortunately, I asked the question about, they were trying to wrap the press conference up, and I'd asked a question, I don't know what it was, but I wanted to find out a bit more about Tyson Stengel. I thought that was probably more relevant than Buse not playing.
Yep. Yeah, of course.
Last week. So,
any injury to come for Buse?
No, there was nothing on the nothing on the injury list.
You haven't had a chance to talk to Andrew Mackey, the esteemed tycoon, stock market tycoon,
the executive general manager.
Yeah,
no, I haven't spoken to Mac at length.
You haven't texted Andrew, have you?
The old man.
Yeah.
No, I'm a bit scratchy about doing that. Like yes, great. I have a relationship with
Mac. I wouldn't. I just say, well, what's that was shit.
Yeah. What? Yeah.
What's going on? Anyway,
you don't ask the question; just make a statement and see what comes back.
100%. Anyway, if no injury comes of it, we scratch our heads as to what happened there. Yeah,
there'll be the VFL are playing Saturday against North Melbourne up at Arden Street. So it'll be interesting to see who's in that squad in terms of the non-selected AFL players.
Well, if Busey's in it, and they've played him and just not played him in a game.
Yeah,
that's pretty. You'd have to admit that is pretty poor.
Yeah, that's it makes you scratch your head.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So I heard the coach interviewed. We did a couple of interviews. He was on
360.
Yeah, 360, and he also had another one with Jason Dunstall.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he did another piece there. So I watched both those, Kingy.
What'd you take away?
And I watched the press conference.
Hmm. You have studied.
Yeah.
Have you been bored?
Well.
Marianne not talking to you.
No, well, that's nothing new, so that's fine. You've got to entertain yourselves in other ways, Kingy. So, no, sort of late at night, once everything's done, you get in front of the telly and just sort of channel surf. So, anyway, I watched these things. And, well, the few things I gleaned, which wasn't much, is that Chris Scott, his ability to say, I don't really want to talk about this, and then talk about it for about 15 minutes, is alive and well.
Yep.
So he said that a few times. He doesn't want to have anything to do with the grand final talk. Absolutely nothing.
No, move on.
Not looking at it. Irrelevant. Was quick. Was shutting all that down. Mm. He didn't want to have a bar of that.
Well, I think because that's acknowledging that he had a bad day.
That's right.
Yeah,
he would never get him to admit that, though, would you? So, and he was just very mindful of just saying, well, I don't believe in looking back. I'm always looking forward. And, if we win the next three grand finals, it won't change my, what are you writing down there, Kingy?
No, I'm just writing down Mark Blitzav's name just as a reminder because I did a one-on-one with Mark Blitzav earlier in the week that we're going to play
tomorrow night. Anyway, so he was quick to talk about that. He suggested that the Tanner Bruin incident was one of the most egregious things to happen in football.
Egregious injustice.
Yes. But he mentioned it in the other interview with, I think it might have been with Dunstall, that, in football, I think he sort of was his, not just of recent times.
I suspect because he wasn't allowed to play, even though, yes, natural justice hadn't.
Has anybody quizzed Andrew Dillon on that?
Not that I'm aware of.
Because they got egg on their face there, unfortunately.
Because obviously when we had Andrew Dillon on, that was something we would like. We weren't allowed to
meet. It was suppressed.
Correct.
A few other things that should be suppressed, Kingy, but they're not. So other than that, he talked about the rule changes. He seems quite happy with the rule changes. So there are seven
I like the rule changes.
Yeah, so there are seven of them. Kingy, do you want to quickly run through them?
If you could, please.
Just to OFA. So keep people OFA. So the 666 rule, you don't have to have somebody in the goal square now.
No.
The last disposal, obviously.
They missed a trick there, though.
What's that?
We've been doing 666 long enough.
If it's a free kick against.
Yes.
It has to be.
Yep.
I mean, what other sport do you actually warn people something's going to happen?
Yes, correct.
Hang on, stop the plays in the sound of your head, take a screamer. So 666, yeah, no one in the. There doesn't need to be anybody in the square. Last disposal, obviously.
20 yards.
But if you block a player to get to the ball, it'll be thrown in. So you can't just watch the ball go out and stop somebody else from trying to get to it.
You've got to make a play on the ball.
Centre bounce, you can't cross the line before the ball is thrown up.
They've now adjusted that if you balk like Brody Grundy did, it'll just be play on.
Yes. The kick-in is being reduced from 12 seconds to 8 seconds, so that keeps it in line with a free kick or a mark in general play. There's obviously no ruck nomination now. They will just throw the ball up to keep the game moving.
Yep. Do you think the game's been quicker from what you've felt quicker from what you've seen?
I haven't watched, Kingy. I'd be lying if I suggested to you I've watched enough. We were there at the Cats game, obviously, but I didn't watch a whole heap of the other games. I'll probably watch Gold Coast tonight, just for a half. I haven't heard anyone really discuss that, whether the game is better. I didn't really notice it, in fairness, in the Geelong-Carlton game.
It felt a little bit quicker.
Possibly.
The quarter seemed a bit shorter.
Possibly.
And they were playing proper timings.
So the shrug now is deemed prior opportunity.
It should be.
If you shrug.
Yep.
And the other one, the last and seventh change for season 26, is that there's going to be stronger enforcement of the stand rule.
Yep.
So players running off the mark and standing 5 metres back and then sort of guarding space, that won't be allowed to happen. You will have to stand on the mark.
The umpires have got to be quicker.
There's going to be some howlers with that.
Yeah, but the umpires have got to be quicker to be calling play on for a play. Once a player with the footy moves off their mark, there's too much lean into you there.
Yeah.
There's too much of players trying to create a different angle. If you create a different angle with your movement, I reckon that should be play on.
I think all those rules are great. I'm happy with them. I think that stand rule, there's going to be some howling 50 metres played, unfortunately. Yeah. And you just hope it's not against your team late in the game and it causes you to lose the game. So and the other news, Kingy, is the Cats are having a whiteout. They're wearing an all-white jumper. Round 14 against the Gold Coast. Yeah, I didn't mind it.
Yep.
Jeremy Cameron was modelling it.
Yes.
So that's round 14 down here, be all white, and the Cats will be wearing an all-white jumper, which they do in the NFL all the time. Even the Bengals have an all-white game.
Yep.
So they have a white uniform and a white helmet. So I think we've covered all...
against Brisbane?
Gold Coast, I think.
Gold Coast on King's birthday weekend.
Round 14.
Yes.
At GMHBA.
Yes. Thank you to GMHBA Health Insurance.
That was a pretty comprehensive wrap from me, wasn't it?
GMHBA Health Insurance.
Yes.
Jump on board Carrick Football.
K-Rock is the number one ticket holder.
Proudly presented by this year, which is fantastic.
Absolutely.
Just want to talk about the K-Rock app.
Yeah.
So the app's had a little bit of a tweak.
We love a tweak.
Yeah, well, so you know how you're listening through krockfootball.live. You can still go there, but now go to the K-Rock app, and there is a section where you can either listen to our AFL coverage or our local footy coverage. And the AFL coverage, actually, when you click on it, it actually has a setup where you can sync, like you can hit a button, and it will delay it by 7 seconds, so that if you're watching the TV coverage, it will instantly line up.
Oh, Kingy, we're moving in the world, aren't we?
Yeah, we've come into the 21st century.
Well, some of the technology that's available these days, it's extraordinary.
So, there's a game of footy to be won.
There is. I don't think the Cats will be winning it, unfortunately. But look, let's hope we're proved wrong. But I'm not being pessimistic. It's going to be one of the hardest trips in footy up there. You've got Cameron potentially a bit underdone. Shannon Neal, by reports, is fine. Dangerfield, if he doesn't play. Myers underdone, may not play. You've got a ruck set up that they're probably still trying to work out.
I think it'll be Blitzarves.
And you're playing an ascending team who, I looked up the injury report last night, Kingy is missing Raoul, obviously, and Jed Walter, who's suspended, and the other one who is Ballard, who didn't play for most of last year.
And Neville Hagen probably won't play.
But he's available.
Yes.
But other than Jed Walter, Raoul, and Ballard, who they played most of last year without, they don't have anyone else on their injury list.
No.
They've got a full, book.
Geelong's injury list is
pretty
good as well. Yeah. It's just the blokes that maybe not 100%.
Look, it's a tough game. Is it going to be wet?
Potentially. Last I checked, it was up to 30.
Are we going to be building an arc? Well, do you think they'll be downgrading the track with the Clegghammer down to a soft 7?
Animals will be pairing up.
Yes.
Let me have a look at the Carrara forecast for tomorrow. Right now it is 29 degrees and up to 10 mil of rain.
Well, 10 mil's okay.
Yeah.
When's that though? Night or not?
Cloudy, high chance of showers most likely in the morning.
Right.
Light winds becoming southeasterly in the morning, then tending easterly in the middle of the day.
So it could potentially be perfect conditions.
Oh, I think it could be ideal.
Bit of rain in the morning, just soften up the track.
Yep.
Stop any jarring up, any shin soreness.
Yeah. 45 mils up to on Sunday and up to 40 mils on Monday. So we might have got out at the right time.
Yes, I think we have, Kingy.
So, I suspect that Gold Coast, with the corporates, they are starting favourite.
They've been. I think the term is heavily supported.
If Geelong would,
you could get $1.70 about the Gold Coast Suns, and some of the smart punters got on that. They're into about $1.45 or something.
So Petrarca, obviously, will be a new look for them.
Yeah, and he'll be playing with a point to prove he's a gun. You've got Anderson, you've got Ben King, you've got Sam Collins, who Bill I saw on Sunday, thought there was a bit of Rick Kennedy in Sam Collins.
And yeah, right.
Rick Kennedy made a career out of 93% of his spoils hit the bloke in the back of the head.
Yep.
He had no intention of going the ball. He just used to wallop you in the cranium.
Yep.
And then next time he went in the ball, he thought, oh, maybe I won't do that. So Sam Collins does a little bit of that. They've got a very good ruckman in Big Wits. They've got a Rioli. They've got Bailey Humphrey.
Will Powell.
They've got a lot of very, very good players.
Joel Jeffrey's a good player. I like watching Joel Jeffrey play.
Yeah, and they've got a lot of those, what you would classify now as their sort of probably 15th to 23rd player is quite experienced.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the previous teams of Gold Coast have been
young,
sort of top heavy with really good players at the top end and not much going on underneath. Their side now looks as balanced as it's ever been, and the Cats aren't going to go up there and put up a fight. I just find it hard to believe that they will win the game, and that's not to say that that's curtains for the for the long range forecast for the Cats. It's just that's going to be a tough game. Going there in Brisbane is going to be really, really hard, and going to Adelaide, even Frio. Geelong play all those teams at those venues.
So Geelong goes in.
Do they play Gold Coast, obviously? Do they play Brisbane at the Gabba? Do they play Adelaide in Adelaide? And do they play Fremantle in Perth?
I don't think they play Adelaide in Adelaide.
So they play Frio in Perth?
Yeah, Frio in Perth. Port Adelaide in Adelaide.
Yeah, well, I don't think Port will be much good.
So it's seven interstate trips. So it's Gold Coast.
Yes.
Adelaide for gather round against West Coast.
I'm not counting that one.
I'm just saying what the trips are. Port Adelaide.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure they play the Brisbane at the Gabba.
Yeah, that's no good.
Play Sydney at the SCG.
That's no good.
Giants at NG.
Well, if it was this week, it'd be fine, but in 10 weeks' time, won't be any good.
And there's one more.
Is it not Freo and Perth?
Yeah, it's Freo and Perth.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. That's not ideal.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's not.
If they could win two of those five games.
Yeah. The first 7 weeks, I think I said this last week, if Geelong could get out of the first 7 weeks.
Be 4-3.
4-3 would be an unbelievable.
Well, you'd have to think that they will start favourite rounds 2 and 3 or 2 and 4, whatever it is, against Freo and Adelaide.
And against the Eagles in.
Yeah. So if they win those three.
Yeah. If they were to lose tomorrow night and then win the next.
They could actually be 3-1.
No, they'd have Hawthorn in between.
Well, Hawthorn, I'm
not sold.
No, I think they're another year away. Hawthorn, they haven't done much in free agency.
No Will Day.
Yeah, I think they're going to have one more build. I'm not saying Geelong will roll over them, but I don't think that. Let's put it this way. I think there are much more chances of beating Hawthorn than they are beating Gold Coast. on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, well, Hawthorn at the MCG is a different beast.
Yeah. I think that game is winnable if Geelong play well. You'd hope that Freo at home will be a huge, huge game because Freo are on the improve. Adelaide here will be a big game. If they could somehow find a way past Hawthorn, then beat West Coast, they end up 4-1. That'd be extraordinary start.
That would be, yeah, incredible. They'd be, yeah, extremely happy with
absolutely
that.
Absolutely, King, it'd be incredible.
Zeke Ewland will debut for the Suns to join his brother Bodie.
Yep.
So another couple
the of... The Ewlands.
Yeah. Another couple
of... The Black Ewlands? Aren't they sort of some sort of lovely group that no, makes cakes spelt and stuff? Different,
spelt differently.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, U-H-L-A-N-S as opposed to U-W-L-A-N-D for the Ewland brothers. Well, please don't make that joke tonight.
Oh, Kingy, I'm not that stupid, Kingy. You don't want to... I've got to... Yeah.
Go
it's
on.
It's like the cheap circumcision, Kingy.
No.
It's a rip-off.
Boom, boom.
Nice one, Moz.
Yes, yes. Do you want some questions? Or have you got some more notes there?
No, I've got any more notes, King. Okay. I think we've been through my notes. I've got notes for racing. I'm going to do turf talk soon, so... But...
All right. Andrew Daly.
Yes.
So I did... I've just put out on the KFCX... Hello, all. Questions, comments, concerns and criticisms. Welcome as we record in the PM on Thursday. Andrew Daly, geez, the first line there is very Jim Nantz, Masters intro, already excited for Augusta. Well, it's only 4 weeks away. Questions, nope.
God, that comes around quick.
Yeah, concerns, will be the lack of movie quoting.
We'll get plenty of those in there.
What I'm looking forward to, guessing Kingy's heart rate every time Benny gets the mic. Round one, as Judge Smales said, well, we're waiting.
I want a hot dog.
Todd Nikolic wants to know, at which end of People First Stadium is the Belmont Watch House?
It'll be right of your dial, isn't it? It's always right of your dial.
Yeah. It's the southern end.
Yes.
Yep, so that will be it. Arngold, words cannot express how disappointed I was to learn that Benny's not a Slipknot fan. On to footy, where do you think the improvement will come for this year from the Cats to remain competitive? P.S. Tool in Adelaide was awesome.
Right, well, Arngold, they played two nights there. I wonder which Arngold went to. I went to Friday night. Yeah, they were good.
Arngold might have been in the crowd.
I made the fatal mistake of having a seat, which was just stupid.
Mosh pit, Benny.
I will never do that again. But look, they were there. They're just top shelf, that mob.
Anyway,
Slipknot, so, yeah, I'm not a big fan of that sort of style of music. But, I mean, it was interesting, let's put it that way.
Where will we
improve? We talked about improvement, Kingy. Or the players we thought had improvement in them.
Yes.
And the list was actually a little bit longer than I thought when I was doing it. You'd have to think that Connor O'Sullivan is going to be better again.
Yes.
Tom Stewart fit, struggled last year.
Better.
One of the things Chris Scott was talking about was Tom Stewart perhaps was more impacted than he thought last year with that knee injury.
Yep.
So Tom Stewart, let's hope he can stay fit because he showed in that game against the practice game against Carlton that he's sharp. He's an elite player. So Stuart fit, Connor O'Sullivan taking another step, and Lawson Humphreys has sort of, you know, even himself admitted he sort of lost his way a little bit last year. As you'd expect, a young player in just his second year of footy, if he takes another step as well, suddenly you've got three players in your defence who are at perhaps, well, you've got Humphreys and O'Sullivan who are young and ascending, and Tom Stewart back to his absolute best, your defence can be better. You've got Jack Henry who showed against Carlton, he's on.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping like how they play Sam De Koning as a key defender and play him on Ben King on Friday night. So I think the defence, you can legitimately say the defence has improvement.
Yeah, and is as good as any in the comp.
Yeah, midfield, you're adding Warple and you're adding Tanner Bruin.
Yeah.
You've got two blokes.
Although, are they going to run Bruin off halfback?
No. If they do that, I'm going to run onto the field naked.
I'll hold you to that.
Well, and get chased by a man in like a man in yellow.
Yep.
Who probably, hopefully for the 10 mil of rain, he hasn't got his footy boots on. Because I'll be taking up the long stops. So I'll be turning on a thrumpy bit, Kingy.
Yeah.
He won't. He'll be arse over tit.
Right.
The old guy chasing me.
Yeah, okay.
If they cannot do that. Stop doing that. Why would you? Your midfield is short. Why did you recruit Morple?
For your midfield.
Yeah. Why did you recruit Tanner Bruin originally?
For your midfield.
Yeah. So hang on, let's go put a bloke who's never played there, any of his footy, let's go, and he's trained there. Well, Kingy.
I'll give you two things. I reckon tomorrow night Sam De Koning will be at the first bounce and Tanner Bruin will be on a halfback flank.
And I will be in centre wing within about 14 seconds with a protest sign.
Is that a euphemism?
No. Look, fair income. It was like when I went to the brothel and it was closed. What? Do you know what the sign said?
What?
It said, "Beat it. We're closed."
I thought it might have said, "Come again."
Okay, I like that. Nice one, Moz. Boom, boom. Bit of a follow-up gag. A secondary gag. Oh, I love a secondary gag. No, please, please, let's play, blokes. Tanner, for what reason would you do that? Yeah. He's not super quick.
Yep.
He's not an elite ball user. He's not a bad ball user, but he's not an elite ball user. You have Humphries, you have Stewart, you have Zach Guthrie. Why do you need to then fashion some other rubbish out of to look like half a smartass, which blew up in your face in the grand final? Why would you do that?
No, I can't answer that.
If you're going to do that, I'm happy for Max Holmes to run off halfback a little bit at certain times, not all the time, but because he can run 15 and kick it. He kicks it to no one a lot, but he can kick it 50, so it's a 65-metre play. He's got speed. He's got something that you could use off halfback. Tanner Bruin is an out-and-out midfielder. Yep. Give him an opportunity. He's 25 possessions. He's 5 clearances. He's 6 tackles. And he's 5 score involvements. And the next part of his game will hopefully to become a goal kicker.
Yep.
So with Warple and Tanner Bruin in the midfield, there's a couple of elements there that give them something over and above what they had last year.
Yep.
So can that improve? With alongside Smith, alongside Holmes, alongside Atkins, you've got Dempsey and Myers as sort of like pseudo on ballers, even though they're sort of outside players, they sort of go into that mix. Can Nevitt step up? Jack Bowes, how does he fit in? So can the midfield improve?
Yeah.
The area that I'm concerned about is probably up forward. Jeremy Cameron coming off an injury interrupted, although Chris Scott said in one of those interviews that I saw that he felt like Jeremy Cameron had one of the best pre-seasons he'd had.
Until the quad.
Which was only minor, obviously, but he felt that, and the arm wasn't really that much of a problem. They were just being very, very cautious with it.
Yes.
But he actually felt like he'd had a really good pre-season.
Yes.
So has he got the touch? Will it take him a few weeks to find his feet touch-wise? Possibly.
Yeah. He'll be better after the bye.
And is Shannon Neal, is he just 100%? So he woke up in the morning and that thing was gone, where he could hardly move after the game.
Yeah.
That was a week ago.
That I don't know.
So is he at full steam?
Yeah,
we'll Tyson Stengel's not part of the mix.
No.
If Patrick Dangerfield's not part of the mix. And these problems may only be temporary.
So Manor becomes a more permanent four.
Well, Ollie Henry will have to play.
Yeah. I don't mind that.
No, I'm happy with that. He didn't get a lot of it, but I thought his work rate was super against Carlton.
Yeah, he was doing stuff he hadn't done before.
Yeah. So he's trying. He realises his deficiency. He's trying to work. And I think he's got the talent to... He's talented. He's very, very talented. So, and he was around the ball a lot against Carlton. He didn't get a heap of it, but he was around the ball. So if you keep doing that and keep presenting, that will turn. So I'm worried about, in the short term, the forward line. So if that all came together, yeah, you've got reason to be optimistic that there is improvement there. I mean, we're seeing the glass half full side of things, which is fine. The problem will be for the Cats is if there are any injuries, and that will happen to teams, any team probably could say that. If they lose a couple of midfielders, if Smith and Holmes weren't playing, they're shot.
Yeah.
They have no speed.
No.
They'd be on Zimmer frames in the midfield. If Cameron was to go down long term, and then you're suddenly relying on Shannon Neal to take on the best defender every week,
and
it's going to be a real struggle.
And then him and Henry become your focal points.
And if Sam DeConing plays in the ruck, we're cooked because he's not a ruckman. As long as my ass points towards Terra Firma, he's not a ruckman. Have you spoken to anybody who hasn't had a frontal lobotomy in the last 3 weeks that has said to you, gee, how good was Sam DeConing in the ruck?
Nobody has said that to
me. No, not one person.
Can I go back to this?
KFC what is X, it?
Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
Kingy and Cass, happy calling New Year. Can't wait for a great year from the Carroll Crew boys. Did you happen to catch the interview with the coach on Fox Footy?
Yes.
Quite an insight, interesting with his comments of what went wrong in the GF. He's just written, what didn't?
Well, he didn't talk about it. He refused to talk about it, really. He just brushed over it.
Poo-hooed it.
We didn't poo-hoo it. He just gave nothing. He said, I'm not interested. I don't look back. And if anyone else wants to look back, that's up to them. But I'm not. And we're moving forward. He spoke a bit about not being there much, having an extended break. which is, I don't think there's any problem with that.
So, and the thing is too, if, look, yes, look, they get a break. The players get a break. But once the season's done, Chris Scott doesn't walk out the door on September 30 and go, well, I'll see you in December. He's involved. He'd always be contactable in regards to trades, free agency, all that sort of stuff. So he's still on the clock in a way.
Yeah.
And people are listening and say, oh, you're being an apologist for Chris Scott. I'm not. Chris Scott's been at the club now. This is his 16th season.
Yeah.
So if he was in a normal workplace, the long service leave he would have racked up over that time means he would be having a very lengthy break at some stage. I've been here at K-Rock 19 years now.
King.
I had 14. I took 3 months off 4 years ago because it was allowed to me. No, sorry, I lie. I had 4 months off. I left finished at the start of October and I didn't come back till the start of February. I have no issue with that.
Like, I reckon they, just to cover you, they had a brick hanging off a lever.
Correct. No, I can't say that. Right. They might as well.
No, I'm with you, King. You know, I don't, and I think another voice across a pre-season for a group that's had the same coach for so long is not a bad thing.
How good have Nathan Buckley's voice been for that group?
Absolutely. Nigel Lappin, they all love Nigel Lappin, just to give the opportunity for the assistant coaches to step up a little bit,
I reckon,
form a relationship with the players, get to know them a little bit better. I mean, all that's probably all done, but particularly for Buckley, Chris Scott doesn't need to be there moving witches' hats.
Yeah. I don't think Mark Corrigan has had as much involvement in pre-seasons previously either. Like, going at what I saw at Deakin, he seemed to be a little bit more involved as well.
Yeah, okay.
As VFL coach.
Well, that's good. I mean, it keeps the sort of Chris Scott voice fresh for the real stuff for the season itself, and I don't think that's a bad thing. So, and you know me, if it was something that I thought was particularly with the coach, I'd be jumping all over. But I think it's actually probably might be a good thing for both player and coach.
Howler 41, in response to last week's pod, I still think Blitzarves is best in option in the ruck.
Yes.
He's not in defence anymore, and midfield is better with Warpedo and Tanner Bruin back in.
Yes.
He may not have the ruck craft, but Edwards is still raw. Stanley can only have one or two charges left. Conway has spent more time in moon boots than Neil Armstrong, and that's about it. Let's hope Edwards can get a full VFL season and possibly play a few games later in. Don't see much info from the VFL practice match versus the Blues. Do you have any info? How did the Hoff go, as in Lenny Hoffman? I don't have a lot.
Well, I spoke to Tom Lonigan about, and the only reason I brought him up because I like Lenny Hoffman.
The name?
Yeah, I just want to say it. So I just say it as much as I can. And
Lenny Hoffman.
He and Colin Jasny were about the only really two players of interest in that practice game. There was seven senior... Seven.
Killian Burke played the Irishman.
Killian.
Yep.
Seven... But there's only seven or eight listed players, and the rest are all top-ups. Yeah. So Colin Jasny played well, got through the whole game.
Yep.
They interviewed him after the game, which I think is on the Cats website.
It is.
He doesn't say much, Jake, but he got through the game, which is a step in the right direction. And I asked Tom Lonigan about Lenny Hoffman, and he said he went well.
Yeah.
He did say that, and as you would expect, there's areas of your game that really need to come on and develop, but he's got a bit of zip. He's got a bit of guile. Do you like that word, Key? And he's got a bit of, how would you say, he's got a lively approach the way he plays the game.
Yep.
He's quick and he runs and carries and likes to take the game
he's
on.
He's got a bit of footy nous too.
Yeah. There's a bit to like about him. He's got a long way to go, but he's certainly trending in the right direction.
Yep. Foxdog 50, great to hear my favourite podcast back for 2026. Benny, I 100% agree with you in regards to DK playing in the ruck. Watching Sam in the ruck is like letting a giraffe loose in a yoga class.
Yes.
Awkward, confusing, and everyone's quietly hoping nothing breaks. Obviously, we were up to our neck in water trying to get Rowan Marshall, but failed with no one's fault as St Kilda holding him to his contract. But knowing they couldn't get him before the draft, why didn't Geelong go to the draft and pick up some state league ruckman like a Darcy Fort, which I'm sure there is one out there we could have used, even a rookie pick for a position we need to fill badly. I honestly have faith in Mitch Edwards, but he's still about two more yabby seasons away. I've never heard anybody refer to it as a
Is a yabby season as long as a normal season?
I don't know. That would be what Geelong... I can't explain why they wouldn't have gone and got a big, but they obviously felt that their big man stocks are... They're comfortable with them. And Neildy's spoken about this. What Geelong sets aside in their salary cap...
Who, the Cats?
For the ruck.
They tried to get Marshall.
They did.
Yeah.
But after missing that, they would have just gone back to the...
Well, I think they had all their... I hazard a guess and say that they thought that it was a very, very good chance that Marshall was going to be a Cat.
Yeah.
And everything was trending in that direction. And then the rug got pulled from under them too late. And there was... Other players were down the track elsewhere. And it was, you know, you probably can't... you probably can't criticise that. They have got, you know, Conway would be a frustration to them. And Edwards, I mean, we spoke about Edwards. He's as I think was it Howler said that, let's hope he gets a full game, a full season again in the VFL and develops and maybe makes a debut one game late in the year.
Watching the players who need to redeem themselves after last year's disasters, naturally, because who better than me, Foxdog50, the self-declared guru of judging other people's jobs from my couch. One, Ollie Henry. Two, Brad Close. I agree with you boys. His year last year was below par. Three, Mitch Nevitt. It's bang or bust for his career as an AFL footballer.
I agree.
Sam DeKoenig. I might start having small doubts. The year 2022 will be his only best year of his career. His performance since then has been disappointing. Hope the Cats win Friday night, but I think the Suns by Barassi.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. I thought Sam DeKoenig was better last year than he was in 23. Mm. Sorry.
24.
Sorry, in 24. 22, they won the flag, didn't they? So
23 missed the finals.
23, yeah, he had a poor year. 24, he probably was okay. And I thought last year he was okay again. The year when my only thought about him, and I've spoken about this, Kingy, on the Kerr's IA Cat Attack podcast, is that playing him in the ruck, the game against Carlton, albeit he got his pants pulled down by his brother, who loves physical contact, Sam doesn't. I'm not knocking him. That's just, some people relish that. He doesn't.
Yeah.
He's a key defender. It's a different sort of contact. I mean, and we spoke about it, I'm not saying he lacks courage or, I'm not suggesting any of that, because we saw, didn't we, the year after, 23, didn't he get hit in the head about five times to start the year?
Yeah.
And never recovered, really. He seemed to be off the whole year.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm not suggesting he's frightened and he doesn't put his head over the ball, but it's a different sort of courage playing in the ruck. Shannon Neal likes that. He likes to jump in and put his knee in. That's what he likes doing.
Yes.
And that's part of his makeup. So play those players. If there's an element, there's got to be an element of physicality in the ruck, because I think that's a huge part of the position. That's where Rhys Stanley probably struggles a little bit, because he doesn't have that either.
No.
So you've just got to, but I think Sam DeKoenig, if they left him playing in the ruck, hopefully maybe toughened him up a little bit mentally more than anything. And I thought last year was okay without being fantastic. It was okay, but leave him in defence. Let him progress in defence. I mean, when he came in, he was a second-year player, wasn't he?
Yeah, 2022.
22.
Yep.
So what's he, 23?
24, I think.
24. He's still a young player. He's still developing. Develop him in the one spot. Don't put doubt in his mind by putting him in a position that he doesn't like and he's really not much good at. I mean, Mark Pitnett, he looked like Polly Farmer. Mm. So I don't understand. I think you've given him a go in the ruck. He's seen that he needs to be more physical in terms of the way he plays. He needs to perhaps be a little bit more desperate. He's probably laconic in the way he plays. But leave him in. Now he's had that taste previously. Put him back in defence. Put him on the best defender, best forward. Put him on Ben King.
Hmm.
He's had the experience now to play on those sorts of players. Make him your number one key defender, because I reckon Connor O'Sullivan can be an even better player if he's not asked to play as a third-year player on the best forward.
Yeah. DeConing's actually 25.
Well, he
just turned.
He's still relatively young.
Yes, he's only got 85 games.
I mean, I know. That's right. We talk about forwards getting to 100. Well, the same sort of thing. His best footy, I reckon, will be 28, 29, 30.
Yep. Daz Broncos, gents, great to start to the year in the booth. With the ruck rule changing, the potential of Mitch Edwards getting a go, is it better to just leave him in the VFL this year to develop physically further and just take the L, so to speak, having blitzed through the bulk of the centre bounce stuff? That would require DeKoenig and Neal taking the defensive and forward 50 ruck work as well. Protects Edwards' lighter frame, the likes of Witts, Grundy and Gorn wreaking damage. Or do we just let it happen and roll the dice, seeing how it took all of 5 minutes for Neal to get whacked?
What do you think?
No, Edwards needs a bit more time. He needs to add to the frame.
Yeah, he needs.
But he will play this year.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I think he'll play sooner rather than later, Benny.
Wow, he looked miles off in the practice game.
I think he'll play.
Physically, he looked well off the mark of where you need to be at AFL level.
In another universe where the Bengals won the Super Bowl, I could see a place where, as Benny suggested, Neal in the ruck full-time changed the game the other night. Four centre bounces attended, three clearances was a small but significant sample size. It might work if he wasn't needed at full forward.
Yeah, I think he's your better option as a backup ruckman if you needed that to throw somebody in. And, you know, you've got the likes of Cameron Dangerfield, perhaps Ollie Henry. You've got other options up forward. I'm not suggesting Neal plays as a permanent ruckman, But I think he's the one, if you needed a little bit of a spark, if you wanted to throw things around a little bit, I think he's the one to throw into the ruck. Sam De Koning is not a spark in the midfield as a ruckman.
No.
Neil could be that spark, yeah. Albeit I'm advocating.
He's such a good athlete. He can get to contest. Well,
if he gets the ball, he can actually, he's a beautiful kick. He can get involved in general play. He's quick. So he can actually become a real weapon because he likes the ruck, the actual contest of the ruck, but then he can be an option at ground level. I mean, Jared Witts, as good as he is, he's a different style of ruck. I mean, he's only going to get the ball and run 15 metres and kick a 50. No. So I really, but I mean, I'd love Neil to play predominantly up forward.
Dudas Maximus.
Oh, Dudas.
Flipping the tables a bit. He's got five questions for us.
Oh, no.
One, what are both of your game day routines, home game and away, like? Home game, GMHBA, I'm usually in here at K-Rock Studios for a couple of hours, finalising paperwork and stuff like that. Try to get to the ground about an hour before. Melbourne games, try to be at the ground an hour to an hour and a half before we go to air. And it's a little bit fly by the seat of your pants when we go interstate. We're a bit beholden to Davey Collins and what time he wants to be at the ground. Benny?
Well, Dudas, if I told you my routine,
that might be the end of your time.
Well, I don't. My routine is that I don't really have a routine. I've never been a routine sort of guy.
No, you are not routine.
No,
you are far from.
The only thing you like to be routine, King, are your bowels.
Yep. Dudas Maximus, number two. Any memorable gaffes or face palms that will make the K-Rock blooper reel?
Oh, I've had heaps. I've had many. I've had stuff that when we had Justin Longmuir on, and I think I might have got a please explain after this. But I said that, and Justin Longmuir, we didn't know Justin Longmuir. We were up at the
MCG.
Marvel in that box where
the Skybox.
Yeah, we were over on the other side in the Skybox to the broadcast side, and we didn't know him at all. And he'd come to us because Collingwood actually reached out. Stephen Riley reached out asking he wanted to sort of expand his sort of his articulation of football. Yep. So he wanted to, could we find him a spot? We thought, why not? He's assistant coach at Collingwood.
Yep.
So we did. Anyway, he was a great fella, Justin Longmuir. But when halfway through the first quarter, I think he worked out that we weren't perhaps the most serious outfit on the planet, and then we like to have a bit of a joke, because I said Geelong's back line was so frugal that it went to orgies just to have the grapes. And I looked across, and his pie nearly went onto the window in front of him. He couldn't believe it. He was laughing about 10 minutes. And he realised from that point on that you could have a bit of fun on the rock.
For me, no, nothing. I haven't been pulled in for anything.
The only things you do, Kingy, is I love it when I make you laugh and then you can't commentate.
Yeah. the ones that stick out are obviously the Roger Moore joke. Yeah. On the 2022 and that's the one whenever I'm talking at like sporties functions and that, yeah. And people ask me about commentating, say, look, I work with one of the funniest blokes you've ever met.
Roger
Moore. And tell the joke, Benny. So I'll set the scene. 2022 preliminary final. I think we were all a little bit tense because Geelong had struggled to get through prelims, and this was seen as the opportunity to get through and into a grand final. And so it's a bit, we want Geelong to win and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, Benny, we're about to go to a break, back shortly, chatting with Cat's assistant coach, whoever. And Benny whacks me. King, before we go to the break. What, Benny?
And I said, I just found the most inopportune time to drop a gag as we were going to break. And I said, there's a good slogan going around for Viagra, that it won't make you Daniel Craig, but it will make you Roger Moore.
Live, breathe, Carrick football. I was crying. And the other one I go back to, and it was not a gaffe, but probably your funniest line, was we were doing the Port Adelaide-Brisbane qualifying final in 2020. And
God, you got a memory for games.
And Charlie Cameron got out the back of the pack and got the footy. And what did you say, Benny?
Faster than Bolivian internet.
Singapore's internet.
He's faster than Singapore's internet, which would be extraordinarily fast. Do you know how an internet can go fast? They just refuse to turn the knob up.
Yeah, right.
It's bad.
How are your game day digs? Have you got a favourite commentary box or ground?
Yeah, well, I love... you can't go past the MCG. GMHBA is good. I mean, we're splitting hairs, really, aren't we? They're both good. There's something about the G when there's a big crowd, particularly a night game, or even the Easter game against Hawthorn. There's just something about the G that sort of is very inviting. It creates its own sort of atmosphere. You don't quite, and the Geelong crowd, they tend to be pretty quiet.
Yeah.
At GMHBA, they're not. There's very few games at GMHBA where they're up and about, or they're very loud. There was one last year, from memory, I forget what it was. I remember a couple of the fans talking about how loud the GMHBA was, because it's generally not. But MCG's probably, and the game where we did the ground where we do, I enjoy going to, and it's all based against the Cats, unfortunately. But the Adelaide Oval is
brilliant.
It's a great. And that game last year when the Cats came over the top of the Crows, that was great.
Admittedly, last year we had to call from behind the goals there. When we're calling from one of the wing boxes.
From centre wing, yeah.
From centre wing. But we get the one that's not these sort of the, what do you call it? It's the floating box, like Triple M and ABC and SEN have all got their own.
The old floating box.
Yes, box over there. But we get that, and the crowd sit in front of us, and they work out very quickly that we're from Geelong.
Yeah.
But do you know where I used to love calling from? Our old box in the old Brownlow stand.
Yeah, it was
when
good.
The crowd used to sit
right in front of us. Yeah.
Like, we had the windows open.
Well, it's a privileged seat, King, isn't it, to be sitting in it? So we've got to be careful what we say. That's why I'm always careful what I say. But I probably like the G, the G, and then GMHBA.
Do you get any extra views/angles/stats than the normal broadcast or cable viewers, or your champion data stats are fairly
I get champion different. Data. So the champion data stats, you can add as many layers to it as you like. I mean, you don't want to have too many because it becomes difficult to read. So it's just basically every player's name for each side. You've got sort of two split screen, and then within that, you could put in 40 stats. They're all columned down. I usually work on about, I have about 12. So the basic sort of ones. I don't think you want to get too fancy. I have contested possession, clearances. But then there are other things you can do off that. Like if you press stoppages, it will then tell you that each team's score from stoppages. You can break down who's won centre clearances from the ruck, from the throw-ins. So there is a whole raft of things that you can do. But we sort of try and keep it a bit simple and keep things that'll, that are pertinent to the game. I think sometimes I'm not a massive stats man. Like I think your eye tells you what's happening.
Yeah.
You can have your eye and then see stats or back that up. But things like clearances, score from clearances, turnovers, perhaps contested possession, depending upon who you're playing. Yeah. Even disposals. I know the game.
Meters gained.
Yeah, meters gained is another one that I have.
Yep.
On the screen that I use. I think like disposals, total disposals can be a bit of a. So let's say uncontested possessions can sometimes be meaningless, but I think it depends who you play.
Yep.
Some teams like to possess the ball, and if you can deny that and deny marks and uncontested possession, you go a long way to beating them. So there is a million stats you could pull up off the champion data screen that I've got. But it's sort of hard on the run too then to be doing that as well without, so you sort of try and keep as basic as you can.
Dudas Maximus, I'm going to, so we sort of touched on this. Does Benny regularly get a please explain for his many transgressions from either the work or the home front? And then he's put Benny, please don't change. But I actually want to ask, obviously you work for Wild Racing.
Yeah.
And you occasionally do a post or pre-race interview.
Yeah.
Have you ever walked away from one of those interviews where you're going, gee, I might have said something there that I
should. No, I've never said. I'll just try and. You can get away with a bit more there.
Yep.
I got on Get On.
Yep. Because, oh, did you?
Yeah, just recently. Don't ask me why, but I was on Get On for. Well, they thought it was Simon, but Brent Ruff said, that's not Simon. So that's the racing manager. So I said, we had a horse that won, and Amy Yagi was interviewing me, and, they asked. She's lovely, Amy, and I forget the question, but. She said, oh, the team's going really well. And I said, look, Amy, I said, it is. You've got to enjoy it in this game because this game has a real habit of just pulling your pants down and spanking you real hard. And she looked at me and I think she might have got a bit of a
glint in the eye.
I think she might have. Mind the paddles come out, King.
Benny.
But anyway, so no, I haven't really. I said, we saw. Did you see Luke Williams got fined for his comments after a win on Colac? Dean Yendall.
Yeah.
He rode one of our horses at Swan Hill one day and came out and said it was that windy out there that it blew the tits off a prostitute. Now, how he thought that that was going to wash on racing.com, he got fined.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, and Luke Williams got fined for making a very inappropriate comment about the mental state of a horse.
Oh, yeah, don't touch that.
So you've got to be a little bit sharp, but you can have a little bit of fun.
Yeah.
And I get, being in the industry, in any industry, I tire pretty quickly of serious, serious hardline talk.
And cliches.
Yeah, I don't mind a bit of it, but I like to have a bit of fun, so yeah. But I've never got anything on racing.
All right, and do just finish this. Thanks for regaling us with your love and passion for the game. It shows and keeps us loyal wherever we travel, through especially CarrickFootball.live. So that's more now the K-Rock app. So we do implore you, if you are heading to the Gold Coast for the game and you want to listen to the call, the K-Rock app is delay-free. But if you are watching the TV...
And let us know on the Twitter, Kingy.
Yeah, let us know.
If you are listening, if you're at the ground.
We might pose that question on the KFC X as well. So if you're on the X at K-Rock Football, that'd be great. We might fire up the text line again this year as well. So 0456 955 955. We might just get that moving a little bit more because I think Tom from Collingwood would probably like to be conversing with us.
He was.
So, yeah, please get involved there too. So 0456 955 955. We'll be a little bit more on the ball with that this year. It's a system that we probably haven't invested as much time in. This went a lot longer than I thought it would, Benny.
Yes, that's what the bishop said to the actress.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.